Hi, I am Kelly Rotring, the host of Your Life as a Story podcast. I will be talking to everyday people in our community who have interesting, unique, and unexpected life stories. Thanks for joining us. Today, I talk with Siobhan about her life as an intuitive financial coach and psychic medium. Hi, Siobhan. How are you?
I'm doing well. Staying ahead. How are you, Kelly?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to talk with me today.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Absolutely. So I was wondering if you wanted to introduce yourself and give the listeners a little background about you and what you do.
Absolutely. So right now I'm an intuitive financial coach and psychic medium. I was a psychic medium first before I had my hand in the financial industry as a lender. And I just kind of was slowly pushed into the intuitive financial stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. But the psychic medium stuff, like I said, was before all this. And that's kind of something that was like an underlying profession that I had since like 2017 is when I really kicked off and like got my business license and started doing readings out of my small little apartment.
Okay. So is there, when you say psychic medium, is there a difference between a psychic and a medium?
So yes, to me, some people may, you know, argue that, but I think it is. But like, you know, when you think of like spirit or source, you're getting it from one direct thing, or so you think, but there's actually different avenues of communication. And so when I say psychic, that means I'm a seer. So when you hear of the clairs, or, you know, like clairvoyance or clairaudience or things like that, it's just your way of receiving information. So I can see, when I say see, meaning in my mind's eye or my third eye, right? Almost like your imagination. If you were to close your eyes and picture something, I see high potentials of situations, or I go backwards in time and see how things played out for someone, what they felt, what they saw, what they experienced. Versus a medium is someone who can communicate to a soul that has already incarnated, whether that be Earth or on another plane or in another realm or, you know, in another form of existence. And I'm able to communicate there. So we say psychic medium because you can do both simultaneously, if that makes sense.
It does. And how long, like, when did you know that you were a psychic medium? Like, when did that become apparent to you?
So, you know that story everybody says, it's like, oh, I always knew I had something, right? Because we all do, right? That's just our God-given right. That's just who we are, right? But what I noticed growing up is that I would sometimes see things before they happened, and that, not that it scared me, but I always just thought that I would make up scenarios in my head, and still, until I started getting older and I started realizing that they are not realizing just, but paying attention to, after I saw something, I would recollect it and be like, oh, I saw that before it happened already. Right. I saw it. I actually like kind of, I don't think a lot of people know this about me, but I sort of have a criminal history.
You do?
That's really how I found out about the psychic part. So I was seeing someone at the time, and this person was not a very great citizen, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And this person got arrested, and on my way to go get this person, because I got like this weird phone call, and I just thought to myself, like, that's an odd phone call, right? A police department called me and said, hey, we have your boyfriend. If you want to come get him, he's here. And I was like, okay. Right. I blindly followed. And on my way there, I had a vision. I mean, it was a super intense vision, and I saw it that showed me that I was going to get arrested. And I was like, what the heck would I get arrested for? Right. I'm like as straight as they come. I don't like to do anything illegal. Like, I don't smoke, drink, nothing. Right. And I'm like, okay, whatever. Right. And I just brushed it off. When I get to pick him up, which I thought was also odd, they told me to wait, that someone would be out to speak with me. And I'm like, that's strange, but okay. So I sat there, and a door opened, a door that did not have a knob from the outside, only the inside, which I thought was like, right? Hair's going up. Something's up. And I thought right then, I was like, no way. Literally. And they called my name and it was my maiden name. So it was like Siobhan Hayes. And I was like, that's me. Right. And he's the guy that came in was wearing a mask. You could only see his eyes. And I was like, okay, this is really weird. So he's like,
police department? This is at an actual police station?
Correct.
Okay.
So I get up, I walk over, and I'm like, who is this masked man? That's wild. Right. And as soon as the door shuts, he reads me my rights and tells me I'm being arrested. I'm like, what? And so I instantly thought, like, in that moment, I was like, oh, shit. Am I allowed to curse? Because
it's Yeah.
You know me. That's what I do. It's just part of my vocabulary. So I'm like, oh, shit. What is this? And he's just, like, telling me, he's like, oh, you're being arrested for X, Y, and Z. Apparently, the guy that I was seeing had sold something illegal to an undercover, and that was who came to get me. Uh-huh. But it was like a year and a half prior to this day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Long story short, that's where that gift kind of came into play. And I noticed it and I was like, okay, so ever since then, and that was in, 2009. That was in 2009 that happened. Yes, 2009 that happened and it blew me away. So ever since then, I started paying attention to that gift. The mediumship stuff didn't really happen up until about 2011, 2012. So not to get all woo-woo, right? But there was a timeline change, right? So a lot of the times we are very unconscious to it, but we feel it physically. But our timelines change, right? The whole avenue of life itself just changes direction, right? So I'm having this experience in 2011. I start dating my now husband and I start noticing that I'm getting a lot of like anxiety out of nowhere. I'm like, man, this is strange, but I keep chugging, right? I'm stressed out. I was a single mom at the time. I'm tired. I'm working lots of hours and stuff. And then come 2012, my anxiety gets so bad. I have to like, I don't know what to do. I'm like having heart issues and I'm having stomach issues. I had to go, get cancer colon screened, right? Screened for colon cancer because they thought that there was something issue. Turned out I had precancerous polyps that they said would have blown into full blown cancer. Had I not gone in there. So I was like, oh, that's scary. But I attributed that to stress.
Mm-hmm.
So fast forward a little bit, the anxiety got worse. It came into panic attacks. I started having panic attacks. I wasn't able to drive. I wasn't able to drive over bridges, which was a big one. I had my first panic attack over the Bay Bridge. Ooh. And I was like, okay, I can't do bridges anymore.
I've had panic attacks and that's a horrible place to have one on the Bay Bridge. Oh God.
And that was on the way there. I still had to drive over to get back home. It was awful. Well, I used to drive to Baltimore every week for work and I was fine until I wasn't. And you know, the anxiety and the panics just started rolling and rolling and it came to a head where I physically couldn't go anywhere. Like I felt like I was housebound because the anxiety and the panic was so bad. Well, another story, my husband left. Well, my boyfriend left for a time. He had moved. And so I was staying with my dad, with my son. And I was I wasn't depressed at the time. I never really ever experienced depression, but something just didn't sit well. And then I don't remember what exactly I was thinking about, but something hit me that day and was like, look up I was reading an article. There it was. I was reading an article and the article said something about how your anxiety could be a symptom of a psychic gift. And I was like, that resonates with me. So I started digging, going down the rabbit hole, started trying to research, read articles, books that I could find on like Kindle, like as many as I could possibly find to make sense of it, right? Because it literally did make sense. Like the more I read, the more I was like, oh shit, that's me, right? I have all these things, right? I'm checking off the box. That's me. I have this. The mediumship stuff started to happen when I made an announcement to my spirit guides. I was trying to learn my spirit guides and I said, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to use this gift. Let's go. So one day my sister and I went to the grocery store and I'm in the deli line. And I hear a lady's voice and I thought it was the lady behind me. It was like, that's my grandson. And I like looked around and I was like, okay, there was no one behind me. And I heard her say it again. That's my grandson. And I was like, oh shit, that's not in this ear. That's in my third eye ear. Right. And I was like, there's no way that's in my head. I instant panic just came up, instant panic. And I started like sweat, like hot sweats, like hot flashes. And I'm like, oh my God, this is somebody. Who doesn't, this is somebody, this is a spirit. Mm-hmm. And it was the gentleman that was doing my cheese. He was slicing my cheese. It was his grandma. And she came in. I see her even to this day. I can still picture what I saw. This lady was in like this muumuu, beautiful older lady. And she's like, that's my grandson. That's my grandson. And that's all I kept hearing. Well, it freaked me out, right? To the point where my anxiety and panic peaked. I left everything. I didn't even get my groceries.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Yep. My sister, I was like, I got to go sit in the car. I can't be in here. Well, another thing on that same path is when your anxiety, at least for me, when my anxiety got to a point that I couldn't breathe, like it was like choking me, I realized that I was picking up on everybody else's energy because I was an empath. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't breathe on top of these other gifts. So after lots of reflection, analyzing, trying to reach out to different, I mean, I went on like a whole research binge trying to find different mediums that would speak with me, people that I could train under. And at the time I wasn't working, right? I was staying at my dad's house. I was living on welfare, like doing what I could to like keep going because I wasn't able to get a job. And I finally found this one lady who helped me for a time. And then we created like it was like a mediumship circle. And there was different, I don't know if they were all mediums or they were just all had some type of gift. And we just kind of rolled with it. And we tried to meet with each other like once every other week or like once a month or something. But it kind of dissolved, I think, purely because of a lot of people. Like ego at the time was like, I'm better. No, I'm better. You know, it was weird. It turned into this funky group, but I'm thankful for it because I got to meet some cool people and I got to learn some more gifts that I had. So then fast forward, let's go a little bit further. So I started the mediumship. Well, that started in 2012. I was taking Xanax and Zoloft at the time, because like I said, I had the panic attacks or the panic syndrome. I don't know what you call it. Mm-hmm. So I ended up getting off of that because what I realized was it blocked my third eye when I was taking the Zoloft and the Xanax, and I didn't like that. So I made a decision. I remember having this conversation with my mom and I was like, I'm really good at this, or I really want to try this, but the Zoloft is hurting. And she's like, well, get off the Zoloft. And I said, if I get off the Zoloft, I'm going to have the panic and anxiety attacks again. And I didn't want that. So I delved in hard to meditation, and meditation saved my life. You'll hear me talk about it. Like I tell people to meditate, like meditation saved my life. I would still be on probably like, they're slight antidepressants, but they're stuff to help you through your anxiety and your panic attacks and your depression. And I would still be on those probably.
Hmm. Now, when you were telling your mom about this, so like when you were, your parents knew that you were kind of going through this or becoming a medium, what were their thoughts or opinions about that?
So funny enough, my dad is a Catholic, right? Like Roman Catholic, came from a Roman Catholic family. And my mom's whole side's Jewish. So my mom was like, oh yeah, absolutely. It runs in our family. I have it. My grandmother had it. My great grandmother had it. Yada, yada. And I'm like, okay, great. My dad was like, that's demonic. My oldest brother was like, you're bringing demons in here. He's like, I can't talk to you, you know, like really scared of it. Yeah. And then my dad wasn't afraid, but he was like, Siobhan, you have to be careful because you don't want to bring an entity in, right? But at the time, my mom was living with my brother in New Jersey and I was living with my dad in Delaware. And I got closer to my dad through it because we would talk about angels. That's kind of where it started with that. Cause I was like, Dad, this, none of it's dark. It's all light, you know, it's all white light things. And I kind of got him comfortable with it. And then I had him questioning his own faith, which is not always a bad thing, because what it did is it opened his eyes up, right? It opened his third eye. So now he gets it. And he had something scary happen to him. And during COVID, he got COVID really bad and ended up in the hospital on a ventilator. But he, that, I think those conversations about us, like talking about the angels and having this like scary talent coming in, right? And kind of serving a purpose, saying, hey, you're going to be okay. Everybody's watching you. He had his own profound experience, right? He got to see angels, like literally hundreds of thousands of them in his room, telling him that he was going to be okay. He told me he heard the song of the angels and he knew he was going to be okay. And he lived through it.
Oh, wow. Really?
Two days later, they took him off everything and told him that he was going to, just had to go to like, not lung therapy, but he had to do like this special breathing treatment and like this, these breathing exercises to maintain what happened. And that one, I was like, see, it worked. It worked. But, no, the mediumship bit, that's definitely something I've had to work towards. And then, I started out with the business with mediumship. I was doing readings in my home. I had like a 900 square foot apartment, teeny tiny, in my kitchen. And I would send everybody in the house out for a day and I would do readings right there in the kitchen. It was great. We had a lot of fun. And I did that for 3 years. And then in the second year, I felt very pushed towards the psychic bit again. And people started asking me about palm readings and tarot readings. And I was like, I've never read tarot before. Like, what am I going to do? Like, so that was really scary. But then a friend of mine who is now my bestie, you met her. She kind of pushed me towards reading tarot. And I was like, I don't really know, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was like 2018. So maybe not quite 2 years I was doing the readings. And she was like, no, you need to learn tarot. And I was like, okay. But the more I delved into tarot, the more it was like working my psychic muscle. Do you know what I mean? So I was able to kind of do that. And then I went completely off mediumship and I was like, okay, well, so you'll notice, or at least in my experience, that when you're developing or when you're evolving into a new gift or a new skill, you get tested and it's super easy at first. And then the more you use it, the less you exercise it, right? So then you just think like, oh, okay, this is good now. I don't need to do anything. But you always have to work at it. You always need to practice at it, right? As any skill you need to constantly do. And I wasn't doing that. So I felt like I took mediumship away from myself because it wasn't as good, or I would be really disappointed. Also, I let ego, my analytical mind, in all the time. So then I had to go through my first ego death, which was like a whole other thing in like 2019. I went to Israel. Yeah, it was awesome. I went to the birth of like Jerusalem. I went, like, I met with, me and Jesus are like this, right? We're besties. So I had like a whole, literally a coming to Jesus when I went to Israel. Like, it was this amazing experience. And then I came home and I felt like everything changed. Everything was different. All my perspectives were different. And then
when you say they were different in a good way or a bad way, or
I think just different. In a neutral way, okay. Meaning like the things that I thought mattered don't really matter on a scale, right? They're very small in the scheme of things. And the scheme is really to heal. Everybody needs to heal. We all come here to have this experience and go through our different lessons and things. And all of our lessons are so different. And when I came home and I had that realization, I had so much retrospect. I had the biggest, one of the biggest tower moments of my life. it was like crazy. And I don't, like, I want to share that experience, but I think the people that I share that experience with may not want me to put that out there. So I'll hold that. I'll reserve that. Okay. But when I tell you, my whole world was rocked, everything that I knew in my relationship and who I was, it was like fake. And I was doing that for 5 years, 6 years. And it was a lie, all of it. So go back to soul searching, went back to meditation, went back to journaling, went back to God, went back to spirit. And I was like, all right, straighten up, girlfriend. So I had a lot of people in my corners like, don't forget your medium. don't forget your medium. And I was like, I didn't forget. I just chose to take some time off and I hung my hat for about 2 years and I didn't really do anything. And what's crazy is I had just started like a fan base. You know what I mean? I just started like an audience on Facebook when Facebook Live was really big. Mm-hmm. And I was getting, like, my videos were getting like thousands of views and I was talking to people all over the world and we had hundreds of people on the live. And then my dog died. Aww. And that was my baby. And I went into what I would consider a depression for like 3 months, left everybody alone. Then I started working at, at the mortgage. I went into mortgage. Oh, I went and took my real estate license during that time. It was like a whole thing. Ended up liking the mortgage side, went into mortgages, and really put my hat down with the psychic medium stuff because I felt, I don't know, unworthy of it for a little while. Hmm. Because you would see like TV shows and things that would come out and I would try to compare myself to how other mediums, you know, worked or received information. And then I got down on myself. So I stepped away from it for a little while and then concentrated on the mortgages. And then one day something was like, hey, look up shaman classes. So I'm like, all right, I'm looking up shaman things. There's things in like DC and like New Jersey. And I'm like, I have no idea what this, and this was before 20. So this was still in 2019. And I'm like looking up and I couldn't find anything. And then I thought to myself, I had met a lady through my friend. And she was, like, she was cool. She was nice. Da-da-da. And I'm like, let me just text her. I have her number, right? So I text her. Her name's Athena, right? I said, hey, random question. Where did you go take your shaman classes? Because I'm being pushed to shamanism. And she goes, hey, do you know I just started teaching shaman classes? I was like, get the fuck out of here. And she's like, you should come join mine. See how you like it. And I was like, okay, sure. So I ended up going. I took the first emerging shaman and then I took the second emerging shaman, and my experience with that is, one, I learned more of the specific practices, which I can't even tell you I actually do those because I'm an Aquarius and I totally drum. I beat, what do they say, you drum to your own beat.
Beat to your own drum. What is that? Yeah,
something like that. But yeah, I definitely march to the beat of my own drum. That's it.
There you go.
My mom said that. She says, march to the beat. And so I like those practices. And I, like I said, I learned a lot because it put a lot of perspective in for me, at least for as far as like a facilitator, a trainer, a teacher. But I wasn't ready to take teacher role then either. I was like, no, that's not me. I don't want to teach anybody anything. When people start coming out of the woodworks, hey, do you teach intuitive classes? Hey, do you teach mediumship? Hey, can I, you know, study under you, can I? And I'm like, no. I didn't want to do any of that. I really didn't, because it just wasn't in my, it didn't feel like it was in my wheelhouse. But every so often a finger would get pointed and be like, hey, you're a teacher, hey, you're a teacher. And I was like, no, I'm not. And I never accepted it. So fast forward a little bit, I stayed with the mortgage stuff, loved it, did it for, I guess at that point, 2019. About 2020, when everything hit, I got to work from home, which I loved. And I did so much self-care then. I started eating well. I made everybody in the house go vegan. I was working out. I lost a bunch of weight. I felt incredible. I was running every day, jumping on my bike, meditating. I was on fire, right? Mm-hmm. And the mortgage stuff was just so busy. Between 2020 and 2021, I was able to buy my house on my own. I shot up. I did all my credit repair. I did, I saved a bunch of money. Like, I got out of debt. Like, I felt so good when I got to buy a house. Like, I was just like, dream achieved, right? I got to get us out of that stupid little apartment that was like rat infested. It was like a whole thing. I'm not even exaggerating. It was rat infested. And I got to buy my own house. But once I did that, mortgages just weren't doing it for me anymore. Hmm. And I was like being called back, right? I was being called back to the work. And I was like, okay, yes. And I'll never forget it. My boss at the time, When I first told him what I did, I was like, you know, I'm a psychic medium, and his mom would come in from spirit, and I would, he was freaked out, and he's like, no, I don't want to know. Don't tell me. And I'd tell him shit anyway, cause I don't care. No, I cared, but like, I knew he could handle it. So I gave it to him and he was like speechless. And so because it made him so uncomfortable, he never wanted to talk about it, but he always said, Siobhan, you need to find a way to take your mortgage stuff or the finance stuff and couple it with your other stuff, your psychic medium stuff. And I was like, his name is Mr. Duncan. And I was like, Mr. Duncan, I don't know how to do that. Right. I don't know how to merge the two. And so again, more fingers. Well, come to 2022, I'm pregnant. I'm working from home. I can't do anything. My mom got sick. She got diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. And I hadn't even had my baby yet. Right. Or no, I just had my youngest. So I had him in June of 2022. She was diagnosed the first week of July. So I knew I just wasn't happy. I was going through it, you know, knowing my mom was sick and she couldn't help me with the baby. She was supposed to move in. She couldn't. So we kind of flipped everything and we had to concentrate on her and how to get her healing. Well, my car crapped out. Then my husband's car crapped out. So we had no way. And she lived 1.5 hours from me. So I had to drive there. She couldn't obviously drive to me. I had no ride. Her phone, because she lived on a farm, there was like no service. So I could never get a hold of her. Then my phone went to shit. I couldn't send her pictures of the baby. It was one of the hardest times of my life. Oh, and that's okay. I learned a lot of, that was another tower moment. I learned a lot during that time. A lot of retrospect and a lot of things to be grateful for. So fast forward a little bit, she passed away, right after my sister-in-law passed away. So my husband not only lost his sister, his baby sister, his only sister, and I lost my mom literally less than a month apart.
Oh, that's tough.
It was tough. Also with a 3-month-old baby. So, right. It was a lot. So, well, in that time, my boss, Mr. Duncan, saw that I had so much going on and the market started declining, right? Rates started going up and home prices started shooting back up and nothing was dropping. Everything just started becoming inflated, everything. I wasn't making my commission and, right, people just were not buying houses. So my boss pulls me into his office and he goes, you know, Siobhan, I hate to do this to you right now, but we're going to have to let you go because I can't afford you. And I was like, kind of in a state of happy shock because right. I knew at the time I wanted to quit. I just didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of fear behind jumping with nothing on the other side. Right. That's the faith. That's the test of faith. And I took that as a message. I was like, all right, God, you got it. So since middle of 2023, I've been blindly following whatever drops into my lap, regardless of what it is and why it's in there. I just blindly follow because I don't know what the outcome is. I don't know what's next, but I'm going to enjoy whatever it is, you know, during whatever time, whatever peak I'm at. And so, but also during that time, I was like, all right, again, getting pushed. What am I going to do? Or you're going to go into business for yourself. Okay, great. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to be a medium, right? You already are a psychic medium. So I've been doing like readings and things either Zoom or I do them in Rehoboth at the CBD store. We call them like token tarots, which is just like an all day tarot intuitive reading day. But I got into the intuitive finance, like I said, and then I kind of paired up with Athena's Soul Medicine. She asked me to come on and do the finance piece for Soul Medicine. And I was like, okay, what am I going to do? I'm not a teacher, right? Oh, yes, you are. Accept that role. So long story short, I accepted the role and took me like 4 months to put together a program that I knew worked for me. And I knew helping other people when they were trying to buy a house through credit repair and through debt management and savings and all that help them, which I didn't know at the time. I was actually using the other gifts when I helped them, my intuitive skill set. Mm-hmm. I was helping them. And then that kind of born the financially free boot camp. And then that kind of spilled into, well, are you, can, do you do classes? Do you do them privately? So then it kind of branched out into, well, now we do them privately. So we get to take the key components of the financially, the financial education, the financial stability, and then we match it up with the psychic medium. So it's like this nice, beautiful bundle. However, people ask for certain things. Like today, all of my readings today were like psychic medium readings. So it just depends, but that's kind of my life. Well, my
that piece of your story.
Yeah, my intuitive life in a nutshell.
I think that's pretty interesting. So what's the name of your business?
So my business is called Attunements, and Attunements is just a realignment. So whatever Attunements is like the umbrella. So wherever you need, whether you need something financially attuned, like your pockets, your budget, your savings account, checking account, your credit, your investments, or you need a physical body attunement, right? We need to figure out where you have pain in your body and kind of syncing that up to, you know, what the trauma was that created it, and then getting rid of it through like Reiki energy work, just kind of ridding your body of the things that it's holding. And then again, through the healing of the mediumship, bringing in those from the other side to give whatever that person needs as far as comfort or validation, confirmation, closure, things like that.
Okay. So do you have a website? Like if somebody wanted to find you, what's the easiest way to get in touch with you?
Yeah. So my website is www.intuitivefinancialcoach.com.
Okay. Intuitive.
There's all the ways on there. Yeah. All the ways on there. And then I also have that, a financially free workbook and a journal, depending on where people are in life. Like some people may not want to commit totally to like a boot camp or even jumping in with other people. They may want to go it alone. So I made that book and I created a solo version of it, which I sell on Amazon, and it's called Financially Free Workbook.
Okay.
And then if you were to go on the Soul Medicine website under the Financially Free Bootcamp page, you'll see a free download for a 30-day financially free journal.
Okay, look at you.
And that one's filled with 30 days worth of channeled messages.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, because I did the Financially Free Bootcamp with you, and that's how I met you. And a few other ladies were in the group. And so that was a 12-week program. We met through Zoom once a week for 12 weeks. And that was a great program. And it really helped. And it was unlike any other kind of financial education that I had received.
One of a kind. Like I said, we take that financial component and we take the psychic medium component and we blend them together. So not only do you get financial guidance, financial clarity, right, and education, but you also get private messages. You get special messages from those beyond, whether it's past loved ones, your angelic guides, your spirit guides, friends, family, whoever has passed over. You get that guidance as well, and also some closure.
Yeah, I definitely recommend the program. It was a great experience. And as much as you did not want to become a teacher, you are a very good teacher.
Well, you know my approach. I'm like we have no fluff. I'm straight to the point. I don't talk around it. That's what I say in my readings too. Like I'm very fast. People are like, can I book an hour with you? I'm like, you don't need an hour with me. That's too long. Otherwise, we're just going to be sitting there chatting up. I mean, if that's how you want to spend your hour, that's fine. We can do that. I'm going to charge for it. But we can do that for an hour. But really, like they come in very fast. That's just how I work. That's how I pick information up. And that's how I expect information to be given to me. It's just.
Okay. It comes to you fast. So when you were saying that meditation saved your life, do you meditate every day?
So consistency is key. right? Okay. And we talk about falling off the horse. It happens all the time because you think your day is going to go a certain way, and then you get hit with all these extra things. You're like, wait a minute, I don't have time to do this. So I just try to look for bits and pieces of my day to fit it in. My ideal day is to get up, get on my treadmill, do my workout, and then meditate and journal after. That is my ideal day. And I try very, very hard to do that every day. Everybody knows in my family that I need this. All my friends know I need this. Like I need this every day. If it doesn't happen, I know that I have enough like racked up, right? I have enough equity. I have enough meditation equity that I can go a day or two without it. I don't like to go more than 2 days because then I start to feel it. Then I'm like, okay, where's the sage? Right? I need to save myself and bring my vibrations back up. And I'm like, not even kidding. I hit myself on stage every day. As soon as I feel off or like, I'll have like a thought that like I haven't had in a while that doesn't make me, that doesn't align with where I am or where my goals are. I'm like, oops, Sage, get out of there.
Okay. Well, and the other thing, you know, I've never taken a financial class before where the teacher sent me a 5-minute meditation recording because meditating for me has been difficult. It's not something that I find comes easy. And you sent me a 5-minute meditation that I can do that. To me, that's doable. So I listen, I'm not doing it every day, but I am doing it a few times a week. So I hear your voice a few times a week with me to, you know, to kind of get my day started. So yeah, I do find meditation to be helpful, but it is kind of hard for me to settle my mind sometimes.
It is, but see, I get that, right? I have lots going on in my life too. And sometimes like when I get in meditation, it'll take me a good 4, 5, 6 minutes sometimes to settle my thoughts or my thoughts. I'll be in meditation and then something comes in like a random thought because you can't shut them off. You can try to get in as deep as possible, but like that takes a lot of practice. So sometimes, at least for me, when I was initially getting into meditation, I had to listen to guided meditations, right? Or I had to listen to meditations that focused on breathing, right? Doing body scans, because really all meditation is you getting into a stance of presence, right? The right now, not thinking about something that has happened and not thinking about something that hasn't happened yet, because that's the two scenarios that you and I are typically going in. Like, oh, I got it. What's for dinner? I got to do this. Or, oh man. Yeah. Yesterday was so tough. That was really hard. I wish I would have said this, right? I wish I'd, you know what I mean? Cause you're either behind or forward, but most of the time people don't take the time to be right now. Right.
Right.
That's probably my problem now is that I'm so right now, I'm not thinking about anything else. I have to set reminders for my phone, but I've gone through 2 ego deaths. Also, one being the most recent a few weeks ago. That, I tell you, like, that bitch had to go. She was in my way. She was in my way. I have so many goals and things, and just there was too much trauma and like sad feelings and her, they're like self-pity and wallow. I was like, girl, bye. I wrote everything down that I didn't like about her, that I didn't want to take to the new one, that wasn't allowed to be in this new, you know, new ego. And I burned her at the stake.
Now, is that one of the reasons? Because I know you said you've kind of taken a step back from social media recently. How's that going?
Great.
Is it?
So, the thing with social media, especially when you're a business owner and an entrepreneur, when you use that mostly for marketing purposes, the issue with that is you don't get on to market yourself. You don't get on to post any videos. You don't get on. But what I found my issue was it wasn't posting videos. Like that was fine. Like I could do that in my sleep. What was happening was when I would go on to post, I would get stuck in a reel. Then I would get stuck in a feed, and then I would get stuck checking my messages because people were sending me hundreds of videos a day that I'd be like, oh, I need to get catch up on this. Oh, I needed to like, oh, haha, that's funny. But what I ended up doing was I'm clocking myself and I'm like, girl, you just spent 2 hours doing that when you could have spent those 2 hours towards your goals. And so that was one of my issues. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to step away from social media. And I trust that by word of mouth, I've put enough equity into my business where people are still going to talk about me. People are, and I like learned how to, I learned how to make my own website, right? I learned how to, I drew up new business cards. I formulated new contacts through just looking up people and writing letters to them. Like, I've been trying to go super old school with my marketing and with my networking. So it's actually taught me a lot. And like I said, when I don't have that distraction, I'm able to focus more and use that time more efficiently, right? Like reading more books. Like, I read 2 more books since I put that down. I try to motivate myself as much as possible. Like, I have certain affirmations that I have by my bedside when I wake up. So like, as soon as I get up, I try to read those, or I read them before I go to bed. So I'm going to get back to social media, but what I needed to do was I needed to work that muscle, so that way I wasn't needing to scroll. And I was needing to scroll because I was trying to escape something. I trying to escape? I don't know. But I was just like looking for, you know, ways to kind of, you know, soothe myself in a way. And I just, social media just wasn't it for me anymore. And I've been super vocal. Like, people keep sending me stuff. Like, I've left my Messenger open for like Facebook only, because that's how certain people get a hold of me, because we don't have each other's numbers, like family and like friends from high school, things like that. But that's as far as I've had of it. Like, I don't check Instagram, Facebook. I was a big TikToker. I'm not doing that right now. And I'll get back in there. But then I also realized that like social media just isn't my thing, right? It's like the news. I just would much rather not read it. Right. So right now I'm taking like it's almost like a social break or a social media break, but it is social too. Like, I haven't been hanging out with people as much as I normally do. Normally I'm a social butterfly, but I just need to concentrate on myself right now. And I need to concentrate on my goals as much as possible, because they're the ones that are taking me places. You know what I mean? Like, I got shit to do, right? Head down, my blinders are up, and I've got shit to do.
And you're focused on it. So do you, are there any books? Do you listen to podcasts?
So I'm not a podcast listener. Okay. And this is probably because I'm just like wired this way, but like even books and things like that, like when I think of a question, I Google it or I go down another rabbit hole. Right. And I don't really pay attention to where I'm getting the information. To me, if it ships, it fits, and I roll with that, right? So like, if I resonate with it, I'm like, ooh, yeah, and I hold on to that information, and I'm looking for more. I don't get attached to authors. I don't get attached to titles. Like, honestly, I forget names all day, but I'll remember the content. I just won't remember where it came from. So like, podcasts and stuff, I've tried to listen to them. Some I do, like yours I do.
Of course.
But like I've listened to Joe Rogan a couple times, but like that just doesn't, I've listened to, Chani, which is like, Chani Nichols, which is like this big astrologer. And I've listened to her stuff sometimes, but like, it's just, I would much rather listen to high vibrational music, to be honest. And when I get thoughts or when I have questions that come across, I go to look for that information. And I also write the information down. I may not write where it comes from, but I write it down and kind of put it into practice. So that way, when I speak with people, whether I'm speaking with a client or a friend or a family member or just someone in general, those things kind of pop up, right? I have this whole arsenal of information that I only use when I need it.
Okay. All right. So that's interesting. So if there was somebody out there who is interested in kind of learning, or maybe they think themselves they're a medium or a psychic, what would you recommend that they did or where to go for help?
So honestly, I would start with meditation first, right?
Okay.
But no, so, and then things are different now, but like when I started, I just was like Googling where I could find people, right? Like who were like me, or, you know, other, because I tried, like I said, I tried different mediums to see if I could, you know, intern or whatever. People wanted to charge me money and all these things, and I was like, no, I don't like that. Not for me. So I just found people who were like me and kind of tried to just push myself out into getting to know people. So like, we have an intuitive group, and the more you practice your intuition and you practice the way you're receiving information, you're going to receive more information, right? It's going to almost be like a floodgates have opened. So let's say you practice clairvoyance and you may not know you're a medium. Well, you're going to start to kind of, your light's going to start to kind of come up and get brighter and brighter and brighter. So those on the other side, those in spirit are going to see your light and you're going to start hearing from them. You may not understand it at first, but that's all a part of getting to know yourself and your spiritual gifts. But I would say to reach out to people who, you know, who are similar to you, whether that's on Facebook groups or you find, like I said, you search up Google, and talk to your friends. Your friends are going to know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody, you know. Most of, you know, if you pick up five people, at least two of those people are going to know somebody you can talk to about your spiritual gifts. Like I said, we host this women's intuitive group that is great for just practicing that muscle, no matter how you receive it. We just wanted a place that was, one, free, that people didn't have to worry about. And no offense to men, but we just wanted a safe space for women because we're sharers, you know, right. We're criers. That's what we do. So this space has allowed women to not only find other women that are like them, but they also get to practice this beautiful gift that they may not have otherwise known how powerful, you know, they were, they themselves.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And it's local, it's Delaware. So I don't know how far your audience is, but we host two in Delaware. We host one on the first Friday of every month in Felton. And then you can reach out for me for that address, cause it is a private address. It's not like it's
right,
like a storefront. And then the second one is every third Friday of the month. And that one is held at the CBD American Shaman each one is 7 to 9 and it's free. Sometimes it gets up to about 15 people. Sometimes it's 6 people. Sometimes it's 5. Sometimes it's 9. It just depends. It's open for people to come whenever they can, however, you know, they can make it. And again, it's just, we just get together, our vibes get raised, you get to practice some intuitive exercises and kind of figure out how you receive information, if you want to continue to receive information and that kind of thing.
All right, great. And all right, my last question for you is, what brings you joy?
So without being selfish, what brings me joy is helping others heal and providing for my family brings me a lot of joy.
That's a great answer. So when you say not to be selfish, so what if you were going to be I don't know if I like the word selfish, but if you were going to be selfish, what would you say?
If I wanted to be selfish, I would say spending time with myself.
Okay.
Joy. I don't have to listen to anybody. I can do whatever I want. I don't have to like ask if someone likes this or like, you know what I mean? Like, not that I put my guard up with people, but like when you're around others, especially when you're someone who's super empathetic and also you're a giver, you're always wanting to make sure everybody's needs are met. So when I'm by myself, I make sure my own needs are met. Like, what do you want to eat, Siobhan? I don't know. Let's go for pizza. You know, it's like, oh, are you sure you want to eat that? I don't have to listen to that. I can just go get my pizza, right? You want sushi? Sure. That's too much sodium. No, I don't have to listen to that, right? I can go get sushi if I want. I can go tan if I want. I can go buy eyelashes if I want. I can go do my nails and not have to worry about anybody. So like selfishly, I would be by myself because that brings me a lot of joy. But I really do like to help people outside of my family. I like to help strangers, people I've never met. Brings me a lot of joy.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to talk about or you would like people to know?
It's a big pause, right? I'm not a pusher, but I guess, yeah, I would love for people to know of, you know, the great opportunity that comes with discovering how your relationship is with money. Okay. I love teaching people that it's not just about the finances. So if they were interested, like, definitely take me up on a workshop. If you can't afford it, we'll figure out a way how to do that. Like, a lot of times people are like, oh, I don't know if I could do that. Yes, you could. You can ask every single person who took boot camp. We'll work with you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your budget is. We'll work with you. Whether you have to pay us up front, whether you take time to stretch out, it doesn't matter. We'll work with your budget. The other thing too is, like, people are so ashamed, and I want people to know that, like, treat me like your lawyer. Not everybody needs to know, right? Book a private session, right? Not everybody needs to know your business. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm one, I'm not putting on my business in the street. No, thank you. Right? Not everybody wants everybody to know what their financial situation is, whether they owe money or whether they make so much money. Like, I know a lot of people who are close enough millionaires that don't want people to know how much money they make.
Right.
Right. Because they're afraid that people are going to take advantage of them, or they're going to feel like, you know, people are going to just assume that they're going to take care of everything when they got their own shit to do. You know what I mean? So that's something to share, is that if money has ever been an issue, that's probably one of the best things you could do, is to get yourself in a position to help yourself, right? Or let other people come in and help you.
Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I find your life to be very interesting.
Thank you. I hope other people do as well.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Take care, Kelly.
All right. Bye. Thank you for listening to this episode of Your Life as a Story podcast. If you could like, subscribe, and share, it would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much.